our scripture reading this morning, let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Let's pause for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that we can come to the throne of grace because you have opened a new and living way through your broken body that was crucified on the cross. We thank you that our sins have been forgiven and that as sinners, are free to receive the gift that you have provided for us on the cross. We just pray that as we sit here this morning, there would be no one who would just stop and reject or just ignore the great work that Jesus Christ did for them on the cross. We just want to pray for the people that we mentioned this morning. We thank you that we can bring them together in prayer. We pray for my mother-in-law. We want to also think of Arlene Engel, who has cancer. We just pray that you would encourage her and strengthen her, and that the people around her could just be impressed with the gospel. Kathy Olson, Arlene Lockett, we pray for these people. We also pray for Sue Keel. We just pray that she would not only have safety in travels, but that her visit could be very profitable in regards to the gospel. We think of this week coming up, and we thank you for Charlie Clough and his willingness to come. We pray that he too could have safety in traveling, but that the conference could be a very encouraging time. And so we thank you for this right here. We want to pray for our country and the direction that it's going and the philosophies that have captured the minds that are literally dragging us down. We think of our young people. We pray that they would learn to stand strong in the face of growing hostility towards the Word of God. And so we just pray that for each heart and each soul, we just think of those who are faithful to the gospel of grace. We thank you for each one. We just pray that this morning, the time that we spend here together would be an encouraging time and that we could just be impressed with our Savior, Jesus Christ, a little bit more. So we commit this morning to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have 2 weeks ago, I started a little mini-series, you might say, on aging gracefully. And when we think of aging gracefully, and I wouldn't use the word inspired, but just in thinking about funerals and death that happens, what does the Bible say about the normal course of life? And what we did is we looked at, we're not through with those this morning, but we looked at 7 observations on aging, and the first one was the pattern of old age, and we used Caleb as an example. We looked at the prayer offered in old age, and then this morning we'll try to get through point six. We won't have time for the end of life, but we'll look at four passages of Scripture that talk about how different people have died in the Bible, from Abraham through the Apostle Paul. What was their deaths like? So as we think of these three things, there are some principles that we want to know. And as we look at the prayer in Psalm 71, if you'd like to turn there with me. I knew I forgot something. I'm aging. is that two signs of aging? I need them and I forgot them. So there you go. So we looked at this prayer of old age, and just to kind of get us back into it, in Psalm 71, we. I'll find it here, Psalm 71. In verses 1 through 8, we have this prayer. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me, and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men. For Thou art my hope, O Lord. Thou art my trust from my youth. And as we consider this right here, and he goes on, and he says in verse 6, By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. And as we look at this right here, if we broke this prayer, this would be the first section, all right, of the prayer. And he looks at the past. We can tell that he is an old man at this particular point, but he's looking at the past and he's remembering how the Lord has never let him down. And he's remembered this from the youth. And then he looked at the present. And last week we kind of focused on that. And here's what he says in verse 9. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. And as we stop and we think of this prayer, there were two problems that we had. And one was he's getting old. And by the way, the Bible is very clear about getting old. We typically don't like to call someone old, do we? We have a softer term for that, mature, senior citizen, something like that. But the Bible tells it like it is. And there's young people, there's adolescents, and there's old people. And it's part of a process. And one of the problems that we have with getting old is this. And there's loneliness, verse 9, and also the fear of being victimized, verse 10. And I mentioned last week a poll that was taken some time ago by Harris, a Harris poll, and it had the four top things that senior citizens, old people, okay, are afraid of. And one was this. The number one was fear of being victimized by a crime. Number two was fear of poor health. Number three was they're afraid they won't have enough money. And number four was loneliness. And there were some that were listed after that, but those were the top four. And what's interesting is that we find those problems that are listed. And as we stop and we think of what we can do about that, there are three things that we can do to help. And the first one is found in verse 14. It says this, "But I will hope continually," and that is the first thing that we have. In verse 14a, continue to hope. And as we stop and we think of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, folks, if you're here this morning and you aren't sure what's going to happen to you after you die, death is a fearful thing. The book of Hebrews says death, people are afraid of death. And yet, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we have a hope. Now, if you don't know Him, let me ask you to consider this. The Bible says we're all sinners. And the Bible says there is not a thing we can do about our sin. We are hopelessly lost. But the Bible has some good news that says this: there is a person who can do something about your sin, and His name is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ came down and paid the only penalty that a holy, righteous God will accept, and that is death. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. He became our substitute. And as we stop and we think of Jesus Christ being our substitute, what God asks us to do is simply this: would you trust in your substitute and not trust yourself? It's very easy for people to say this, and I hear it often. Oh, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe we're sinners, but we have to do our part too. Well, what is your part? Well, it involves church rituals. It involves being good. It involves giving money. It involves communion. It involves something. And Christ did most of it, but we still have to do this. And the fact of the matter is, people, Christ did 100% of it, and there is nothing we can do to finish the finished work of Jesus Christ. And what God wants us to do is to simply trust in His finished work. Does that make sense? I hope it does. And He has promised us forgiveness of sins. And because our sins are forgiven, we have a hope. And we should hope continually. 14b went on to say this: we should praise more and more. And I'd like to focus on the more and more. Don't plateau. Growth is involved in more and more. And as we think of praise, there needs to be an object of praise. And so the longer we live, the more clearly we should see our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we can praise Him more and more. And then there's a third thing that's mentioned in verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. In other words, I'm not sure when I am going to expire. I don't know the numbers of my day, and God doesn't want me to know that. But what we have is, in the meantime, I am going to teach righteousness and salvation. And as we stop and we think of that, what else are you going to do? You say, well, I'm retired. Oh, yeah. Oh, really? Retired from what? Did you know that there is no spiritual retirement talked about in the Word of God? There actually is nothing that talks about your brain retiring either. We need to go on and grow and grow and grow. When Paul said, I want you to grow in grace, he wasn't just talking to young people and said, no, you old people, you have grown enough. And so you don't have to grow. I'm just talking to the segment under 40. And it's kind of, actually, it's quite interesting when we look at the Word of God and the role that old people play. Did you know that part of the emerging church philosophy is to forget about old people? You know, it's kind of interesting. The Marxist philosophy is to forget about old people. Evolution would teach us. There's nothing wrong with culling the herd. You do that with your cattle, don't you? That's where you came from, by the way. So let's just get rid of the handicapped people, the people we don't like, and we'll just cull the herd. And forget about the old people. It's kind of interesting. Our health care is geared towards what? And it's not a pretty picture, folks. And yet when we open up the Word of God, what we find is there is a very special place for old people. Now, I'm not trying to preach to the choir here. I'm trying to provoke you and think about the place that we should have as we grow older physically, because we're all getting older. So turn with me for point number three to Isaiah chapter 46. And as we think of the problems that we face, Isaiah chapter 46, and I'll try to move quickly here if I'm going to cover all of these points, or most of these points anyway. And he says this in verse 3. Isaiah 46, verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he. And even to your gray hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. And as we stop and we think of old age and what happens, and we think of loneliness, and we think of being cast out, as we just read in the last passage, and set aside. There's a promise in this passage right here, and let me stay up with right here. And one is, God is unchangeable. Now think about that. Aren't you afraid of change? There is. And as we get older, lots of things change. And we don't like that change. We're afraid of that change. We see friends die. We see spouses die. And as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, rarely will two spouses die at exactly the same time. That means one of us, one of you, is going to be alone. And as we stop and we think about that, this change is bad. I'm even thinking, my wife now is gone. This is, how long has it been? 2.5 weeks now it's going to be that she's been gone. And I know it's temporary. I know it's okay, but I have to tell you something. Don't tell her this, but I thought I was going to have to go buy new underwear. Because I'm just not used to running the wash machine, all right? There's some things that she does. And the change is not... it's not comforting. Now that's kind of I'm looking forward to this. In fact, I'm thinking I got to get that laundry all done before she gets home, so I'll read the instruction books and all that. But that's what we have, and what do you want during periods of change? What is comforting? Stability is comforting, isn't it? And God is immutable. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And as we understand the very character of God, and particularly this immutable feature, it can bring in a very sometimes chaotic situations, it can be the only source of stability in our lives. And that's true at all ages. We also need to understand the grace of God. All through life, God cares for us. And I want you to know that this passage does not teach that God forgets about you when you get to a certain age. Did you notice that? His care is there right to the end. And that should comfort us when we come to the age as we get older and we think of all the perils that we have. Now, as we go on, I'd like to talk about the next point. This would have been the fourth point right here, is the fruit of old age. And for that, let's turn to Psalm chapter 92. Isn't it interesting, men? Oftentimes our wives do have things laid out and coordinated for us, and just those little things that we kind of take for granted. Does anybody else do that? Does my tie match my shirt? I don't even know if it did. Did I have the same tie on last week? I did. You noticed? Oh, man. I couldn't remember, but nobody was there to tell me, you can't wear that again. So at any rate, Psalm 92, look at verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. And as we stop and we think of the palm tree right here, the idea is this is a date palm. It's a fruit tree. And there's three things I'd like to notice about that, and that's the first one. He's not just talking about some pretty calendar picture like, you know, with a palm tree. He's talking about a tree that actually bears fruit. And in this part of the world, they're very high yielding. I read of one tree that in one season produced 600 pounds of dates. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it, for one tree. And so the idea here is it's a fruit-bearing tree, but it's a high-yielding tree. And another interesting thing about these trees is they stay green both in summer and winter. And so while they're not always bearing fruit all the time, they are alive and they're green the whole time. And I recognize that when trees, the leaves do fall off, there's still a lot of life left in those trees, even during the wintertime. But it's visible here. It's visible with the palm tree. The life is visible. That's kind of interesting. And then we have the second point is the cedars of Lebanon. And one of the ideas of the cedars of Lebanon is this right here. It was quality wood. All right, it was the finest wood. In fact, Solomon, when he built the temple, hauled the lumber from where? The cedars of Lebanon were brought down. He did not want any old junk wood to be built. It's quality wood. And we have a description here and of what old age should be. And we read on in verse 13. Those that he planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. And as we stop and we think of this particular passage, verse 13 refers to the soil that you're planted in. And it's the house of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, this is where we were read and where people learn the principles of God's Word. And so as we think of being planted in soil, the type of soil that we're planted in is very important. And the Word of God provides that nutrition for us. We also, in verse 14, let's read on. I'll finish verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in what? In old age. They shall be fat. Oh, that's kind of a, should I use that word? Fat and flourishing. Well, there it is. And kind of reminds me, stumbled across jokes about, you know when you're getting old. Anybody ever heard stuff like that? All right. You know when you're getting old when all the names in your little black book end in MD. You know when you're getting old when you sink your teeth in a steak and they stay there. You know when you're getting old when you try to straighten your socks and you find out you didn't have any on. Okay, ooh. All right. You know you're getting old when your knees buckle but your belt won't. Right? That little word fat in there kind of reminded me of that. But that's a joke, folks. Those are not Bible verses. But we are there. And verse 14 again, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. And that's kind of interesting. Verse 15, it goes, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And as we stop and we think of the word rock is makes reference to the fact of something that's dependable. When we think of someone who is my rock, we've heard people talk like that from time to time. What are they talking about? They're talking about someone who can always be depended on. And when it push comes to shove, there is only one person who can truly be depended on in all situations in life, and that is Jesus Christ. And so in your old age, you can testify to that. You can witness to that. You know, young people, they don't have that experience, do they? But you do. You should. And that's why it's important from our youth up that we are taught. And then the last part of that verse makes reference to the righteousness of God. And it's in reference to holiness. But when we stop and think about the righteousness of God, did you know that everything God does is right? Did you know that? Not everything we do is right, but everything God does is right. And so we in our old age should bear fruit. And this is pointed out in Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. And as we look at this, it's almost like our lives are kind of a prelude or a preparation for being old when we can really do some good. And it's kind of an interesting thing as I kind of thought about that. A lot of immaturity with young people. And yet, nobody likes old people, do they? And yet, old people can oftentimes bring experience and bring things to the table that kids just simply don't know what they're talking about. And folks, it's important for us as we age and prepare for old age. And I mentioned this last time we talked, that when we think about preparing for old age, what oftentimes comes to mind? Well, do you have a 401k? You know, that money thing, that's important, isn't it? Are you saving for money? And really what's happening here is this, is that we're getting ready spiritually for old age. And if we're going to pass on the right thing, what we should be doing from our youth up is wholly trusting the Lord. And if we go back to Caleb in the first point, Caleb, the pattern of old age, he started when he was young, fully trusting the Lord. And when he faced the problem, he didn't focus on the problem, he focused on the promise. And that is something that we need to learn to do. And if you have grown up your whole life focusing on problems, when you get old, you become a depressing old person. And yet, when we grow up learning to focus on the promise instead of the problem, we can actually be quite hopeful and an encouraging old person when we get old. And so, parents, it's important that we model this to our children. It's important that our children learn to do this. It's like building a spiritual 401k plan so when they get old and when they're lonely and things change, they have and they know where to go. They have a rock. And they know what that rock is. Well, there are some perils of getting old. And that was our fifth point. point right here. There's dangers of getting old, and we should take a look at that. So let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13. And in verse 13, we read this: "Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished." And as we stop and we think of three characteristics of this old fool, and I will mention this, that he's old, but he is not mature. And as we stop and we think of what brings maturity, true maturity, and I just thought I would write this down, that time brings wrinkles, but not maturity. That we can count on. What does time give us? It gives us the opportunity for maturity. And it's kind of sad, isn't it? And we've all probably seen old people who have never grown up. Folks, that shouldn't be. And as we stop and we think of young and immature actions of a child, we can almost accept that, can't we? Can't we? Because they're a kid. They're immature. They haven't learned. They haven't grown up yet. So what do you expect from immaturity? But there comes a point in life when an adult acts like that, it is not cute anymore, is it? And the thought that goes through our head is this: did that person ever grow up? And one of the things that we find here is, and we should note, that maturity and age, chronological age, while there should be a correlation, there not always is. Time gives us the opportunity to grow up. And if you still have time, guess what? You still have time to grow up and to continue to grow. And we notice that we should do that. We also note this. The word fool is used, the foolish king. And as we stop and we think of foolish king, what is a fool? And I think in the Proverbs, if you look up this particular word, it's found over 50 times. Over 50 times, it sounds like, I think it's 51 times to be exact. And fool, 51 times. And you might ask this question in the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs, and if you just want to turn back there because it's so close to Ecclesiastes, keep your finger here. And Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Is the key verse in Proverbs. And it says this, the fear of the Lord, and the word fear right there is respect. Respect for the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so when we stop and we think, what is a fool? A fool is someone who does not relate the issues of life, the circumstances that happen to them, to the Word of God. That's foolish behavior, folks. We have from our Creator an instruction book right here. And there is an answer for every issue of life in this book right here. Everything that happens to us, we should be able to find the answer. And if we ignore this, who's the alternatives? Oprah or Dr. Oz becomes our guiding light. Listen, folks, we're playing the role of a fool. Does that make sense? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to pay attention to what the Word of God has to say, and if we ignore the Word of God, this is why it's very, very discouraging. This is one of the discouraging things about the United States of America, which I believe is the greatest country on earth. The greatest freedoms, the greatest opportunities that we have. And yet, it's interesting, why does Proverbs mention a fool over 50 times? And I think the answer to that is this. There's plenty of them around. There's plenty of them around. And in this country, our generation is being taught not to relate the Word of God to issues that face us. This is why I think Charlie Clough's comments on work and just the whole philosophy is so appropriate, because it relates that to the Word of God. And that's where we're going to find wisdom about certain topics. If you can, you can go to your local community college or your university if you want to. And what will you find in economics classes? Well, I'll tell you what you won't find. You won't find the Bible. You can go to philosophy classes and you won't find the Bible. What you'll find is this. You'll find quotations from old pagans. And the philosophy will be this. Truth is found in you. And whatever your truth is your truth. And I want you to know this. Truth is found in the Word of God. Don't look here for truth. Don't look at people for truth. You go to the Word of God for truth. That is the point. So a fool is someone who does not relate the issues of life to the Word of God. And so we've got, and then the third observation here is he's prominent. And so my just point about that is this, is that physically successful people, whether it's money, whether it's athletics, other talents, musicians, there are wealthy people in many different ways. And I would just like to make, and oftentimes we think this, if a person is successful naturally, then they're spiritually mature. And that's not necessarily the case. This guy was the king. He was prominent. Look at our athletes who are richly blessed athletically. Their lives are a mess. And what somebody wrote about that, I don't know who it was, but I just heard some sports writer wrote about the just the low morals of our professional athletes. And it's not only on the field, is it showing up on the field, it's showing up off the field. And these guys are immature. And I'll say this about Adrian Peterson. The guy can run fast. Agree? He can run fast. He's a very good football player. But beyond that, he needs to grow up. Agreed? And he's not alone. He's not alone. I'm not trying to pick on the Vikings or Adrian Peterson. Sadly to say, he's not alone. And so we have this. Now, I'd like to ask this question. How do you become an old fool? And you can be a fool, you can be an old fool. How does one become an old fool? Well, I think we have the key at the end of verse 13. Who will no more be admonished? And as we stop and we think of no more, no more gives us the idea very clearly that there was a time when this particular person actually listened to advice. They listened to advice, but not anymore. Not anymore. And folks, as you get older, there sometimes is the tendency to think like this. Well, I've been around. And I know. Because I have experience. So you listen to me. And don't tell me a thing. And God, you lucky God that I'm around. Because I know. And folks, don't ever, ever take that approach. You'll become just like this prominent old fool king. an old fool. We need to never despise the instructions that come from the Lord. And as we stop and we think of that, let me look at just one more, and then we'll stop for this morning. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10. And the sixth point is this. What is the secret of long days? So Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27 reads this. The fear of the Lord, well, we can't get away from that, does it? But look at what it says. Prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, as we stop and we think of the secret of long days, Proverbs 10 gives us the key, a clue, the fear of the Lord. Respect for God's authority. That's the bottom line right here. So let me ask you this. Who's the boss of your life?
Nobody tells me what to do. I'm my own man.
Really? Really? Well, aren't you something? Listen, the fear of the Lord, respect for God's authority is the secret. And as we stop and we think of this, and I know there's those that look at this and say, well, if you don't have respect for God's authority, that's why people die young. And one of the interesting things about the book of Proverbs is this. It doesn't focus so much on the quantity of life, but it focuses on the quality of life. And so one of the observations, and I just have here, I don't know why a person stops receiving instruction. Could be they're proud. It could be they're lazy. Do you guys get lazy? Or maybe you're just tired, so you have to retire. I'm just tired. I'm just tired of digging into the Word of God. I'm just tired. I've done that before. And folks, in the Word of God, you don't find this. You just don't find this. And next week, or not next week, but a couple weeks from here, we will we'll take a look at the end of old age, and we'll take a look at the deaths of some very prominent people, including Abraham and Paul in the Bible, and what they died like. We'll take a look at that. But what we find is this, is that he doesn't take... this old fool, how do you become an old fool? It mentioned this, that he made a choice. He used to, but no more. But no more. Well, as we look at Proverbs 10:27, respect for God's authority, and I just want to make this point. It's not just the quantity of life that we're talking about. It's the quality of life. And I would say this, the key is this, back to chapter 1, verse 7, we already looked at it, is that if you want to make a dramatic effect on the years that God gives you, and I think we all do. I remember another poll that was taken, a question, and this was in old folks' homes, and it was a question that goes very simply. If you had to live your life over, what would you do different? Now, you've probably heard that asked of hockey players. Anybody heard a hockey player ask? You know, if you had to have your career over, what would you do different? And most of them say, I'd work on my skating. Has anybody ever heard that? Okay. So if you had to live your life over, what would you do different? And these were the two answers that floated to the top. One was this. I would take more risks in my life. I wished I would have done the things that I was afraid to do before. That was one. Another was this. I would like to do something that would leave a legacy. I want to be remembered after I die. Now, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes says you're going to be forgotten. But you know, it says this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And when we stop and we think of making a difference having an effect in the life that God has given us, where does it start? It starts right back at square one. Where is square one? The beginning. The beginning of knowledge is fear of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 1:7. Key verse in the book of Proverbs. And so that's where you start. And folks, I just want to tell you, I don't care what your age is right now, but you can make a difference. And your life could be meaningful if Ecclesiastes 1:7 is your square one. And we get back to that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's what we need. We read this morning that we should grab onto wisdom. We should hold on to it. Where does it come from? The fear of the Lord. Respect for Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You that as we look at these verses, even so briefly, that one of the things that can jump out at us is this, is that You will never leave us, You will never forsake us, that You are never through with us, that You have a plan for us, that You want to use us. And as we think of maturing, that we can have an experience with our Lord and Savior that can be passed on to the younger generation. And all the younger generation need a testimony to the grace of God. They need a testimony to what You are like. And as we look at our world, we see that there isn't much said about You. There isn't much said about Your Word in a positive manner at all. We just pray that as we get older, that we could be that voice to teach, to encourage young people in what direction they should go. We pray that the truth of the gospel would just become very evident in minds. We thank You for this reminder, and we thank You for the opportunities that You've given us to do exactly that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.